The following program is brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.
CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live Bible answer program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. If you have a question on the Bible or the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. That's 1-888-ASK-CSN. Now let's get things started. Here's today's host.
Hi, and welcome to Every Man an Answer. I am your host today, Shannon Skolton, blessed to be here in place of Mike Kessler. He has the day off. We all deserve one of those. And my co-host today is a routine co-host on To Every Man an Answer, Pastor Gerald Skinner. How are you, Daryl? And he's not...
Aloha, Shannon.
Oh, there you are. How are you?
Doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How is it over in the islands?
I think we might have some technical difficulties right now.
We do. We can always lift up prayers for those.
And blue skies. And it's a beautiful day. We're just having a great time. So,
well, we're glad to have you on. And in
Idaho, hopefully President Trump will be elected and all will be good.
We hope so. We know that Hawaii went blue, and none of us were surprised about that. But we're glad to have you on today. Remember, everybody, that the lines are open. You can give us a call if you have any questions about the Bible. We will answer them from the Bible. Any questions you have, maybe things that you hear in church that are a little bit weird and awkward, maybe things that you hear on this program that you don't hear in church at all, we can help clarify those things for you. And of course, today we're going to be talking a little bit about the election and also answering some Facebook questions. I know we have a lot of those, and we are more than willing to go over those with you as well today. Again, you can call 8888-ASK-CSN if you have any questions. Again, that's 8888-ASK-CSN. You know, Daryl, there's a lot going on. As you said, the election is still just, you know, dragging along. I mean, Nevada can't seem to make up its mind with what's happening. And, of course, we know that we still have a hanging Pennsylvania out there. Arizona, there's still contention over that. What is the energy like in Hawaii? I know it's mostly Democratic, but what do the Hawaiians think is going to happen?
Well, you know, from our perspective, we had a big push for Trump. It was greater this year than last year, although the in here in Hawaii, you know, much like California. So it's always a battle. But this time around as compared to 2016. So at least it's a step in the right direction. Here in Hawaii, we just keep, telling the people to vote righteously. That's what I always tell them, vote righteously.
And
I always tell them, in this election, I tell them whom I'm voting for. I told them I was voting for Trump and so forth. But they have to vote for who they want to vote for. But, you know, here in Hawaii, it's tough. It's a push, you know, like California and... forth. But, you know, we just fight the good fight of faith. Number one is we want to win souls. Number two, we want to make disciples, but throughout this nation. And it is interesting that in the state motto of Hawaii, it reads as, and yet we're constantly battling them against their unrighteousness with abortion. And the Democrats like to use Hawaii as almost a test market for their latest and greatest. So, you know, we did the write-in ballots a while back and so forth. So this is also a lot of corruption in our government right now with the Democratic Party. And we see this in the counting of these votes. Why is it taking so long? Was able to get it done. But in these swing states, they just can't get it done. They're run by Democrats. So we see this corruption within our nation. Lord, prevail. Amen. So that's let his will be done.
Amen. Let the Lord's will be done. We want to encourage everyone. We get a lot of emails and over the last couple of days, especially in regards to the election. We've had a lot of people that are just very despondent. They're sad. You know, they don't know what's going on. I don't think a lot of people thought it would be this close of a race, and it actually is. We can see that him and Biden are neck and neck. And as Mike Kessler and I talk about on this program all week long, we know that the only way we have as many votes as we do for Joe Biden is the voter fraud. And that has been proven, and it's evident in the way that these swing states, nonetheless, these Democratic-run cities are operating things. So we pray that God reveals everything through light that's happening in the darkness, and that the wicked and the unjust will be dealt with. But ultimately, we know that God sits on the throne. And whatever the outcome of the election is, we have to have faith. We have to continue to move and be salt and light to the earth, continue to preach the gospel, not be despondent. Because you know what, friends? Everybody is looking at us for how we're going to respond in times of trial and trouble and tribulation. And we need to have uplifted spirits, knowing that we have a God we serve who knows the beginning from the end. So don't be despondent. Don't be sad. Don't be aggressive or dismayed. I know there's also a lot of keyboard warriors out there that are attacking other people on the other end of the keyboard for maybe comments that they make. There's a lot of misunderstandings. I know that I deal with it every day. I'm sure all of us do, but continue to fight the good fight and have faith. And we do pray in the name of Jesus that Trump prevails, that we get four more years of grace, because what is going to happen after this next 4 years, depending on who gets in, who's elected, is going to change a lot of what the fabric of our nation will actually look like. And so we pray and we hope that Trump gets in. We know that we still have some votes out there. We have a lot of fraud going on. Darrell, I don't know if you heard, but the president is filing some lawsuits against some certain states for continuing to take in ballots and not having them rightfully checked by both parties when they're coming in. So there's a lot. I don't know if we're going to get an answer by Friday, and I hope we get an answer next week, but we'll see what happens. So what we're going to
Well, you know, Shannon and others, this game's... I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
This game's been played before by the Democratic Party all the way back to JFK in Chicago. Been played before with JFK in Chicago and so forth way back in the 60s. And now they're just using it in multiple states. And not allowing the observers to come in and view what's going on. I mean, obviously there's shenanigans going on for democracy, who we are as a country, and the freedoms and the truth, the liberties that we're supposed to have. Thing that we have in this country as our individual vote. And we as Americans, we have to fight. We can't sit back and be a bunch of Christian pew potatoes and do nothing. when you think about the Bible and what took place to whether it had been Rome with Paul in Rome and Christians not wanting to say Caesar is Lord, or be John the Baptist with that took place with him. And then also, you know, he has his head cut off. You go back to Nehemiah, you go back to Daniel. Christians were all involved in every walk of life. And one of those areas is, which is powerful for us, of course, and all of us, is politics. And I encourage all Christians to be involved. It's not our ultimate calling. Our ultimate calling is to save souls, make disciples. Of life. We can't live in a cocoon of the church and just say us four, no more. No, it affects us in every form and fashion of our lives, of our family, grandchildren, our great grandchildren, to every generation. And we have a republic, as they said, you know, Ben Franklin said, and this is what we have to do. We have to be vigilant. We have to be truth bearers. We have to be those that bring forth righteousness for this land. Ours, and we know that God will bless. Well, God will bless. John Adams said this to one of the other signers of the Constitution. I think John Adams, what have we got going on here? He goes, well, what we need to do is fear God and repent of our sins.
Amen.
And that's
it's pretty simple.
Precise statement that he gave. We need to fear God. Yeah, exactly. But
Yeah, we do. We need to fear God. We need to repent of our sins.
For our own nation.
Yeah, for our nation's sake, you know. And I think that's the call that we've all been putting out over these past few months is to repent of our sins, to fear God. We went to the prayer march with Franklin Graham and the return with Jonathan Cahn, and we saw a slew of people pour in, over 100,000 people, just to petition the Lord for the condition of the United States of America, to ask for forgiveness and repentance for the aborting of these babies, these innocent little babies that blood is shed, this evil wickedness that's being perpetuated, even infanticide after babies are born outside of the womb, being killed and slaughtered, which Kamala Harris is for. You see the sick disassociation emotionally from our medical community, not all, but some, who there's just no regard for life. And that this and everything that's going on in this election, everybody, everything you see that's happening, this really close race, the left, Democratic Socialist, really pushing for voter fraud and using felt tip markers on election ballots and throwing away ballots. And you see even postal workers doing their due diligence to commit voter fraud and boarding up windows while counts are being counted, or ballots are being counted, rather. You see all of these things happening, and you have to understand there's a spirit of lawlessness behind all of this. This is a wicked spirit. And it is our job to pray and intercede on behalf of the nation as believers, to uplift our current administration through prayer and through fasting, and to keep everybody associated and around him in his evangelical coalition in prayer, but also to see that this is a spirit. And this is the what we're seeing in this election is the barometer of the hearts of the people. Who we elect and what we allow is a direct reflection of what is in our hearts. And so we need a good heart check as Americans, just as a moral people. And we know that morality is futile away from Jesus Christ, and that a lot of atheists claim to have a better sense of morality than some Christians. And that's up for conjecture, maybe so, but you can't have morality and you can't have that sense in your spirit without Jesus Christ. So keep that in mind. We'll keep everybody in prayer. We're going to keep President Trump in prayer. We're going to keep an eye on the election. And throughout this program, if there's any updates, we'll make sure to bring it to you. Let's go to the phones real quick as we have our caller from Fort Worth, Texas, Kwanzaa. Hi and welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
Thank you for being on. How can we help?
Sure. I just have a question, a practical question. Do you think that Christians are in danger of falling under a deception of being too political about certain things or putting too much trust in politics? Only because, and I ask just out of the conviction that America is merely a vehicle, a God idea, so that it could introduce freedom into the world, so that ultimately people could choose him, choose to love him, because he's a God who gives us free will so that we can actually choose him. So I feel like that's the reason why God brought this whole thing into being. But I feel and I fear that Christians often become too political, in a sense, and too confident in their political parties. And you know, Trump himself, I know he was chosen by God for such a time as this, but I have no idea what his own personal beliefs are. And I know God has used him as an instrument to get his agenda done. So I just wonder what your thoughts might be on that. Do you think politics could possibly be a deception in its own right, even though it may be right-leaning? And, you know, of course, with morality and the issue of abortion, do you think it's possible that we're focusing only on one cause? I mean, America has shed blood from its inception. This just happens to be one of the bloody issues, but the original sin of America was the shedding of black blood to establish the nation. So I just want to know what your thoughts are on if politics itself can be a type of deception that Christians are in danger of falling for.
Daryl, your thoughts?
Well, if I understood you, Eric, the shedding of blood to establish the nation, is that what you said?
Yeah, like the, you know, well, slavery was the nation was built upon backs of slaves.
You're talking about the Revolutionary War?
Of course, there's ingenuity of the founding fathers, but the flesh part of it was on the backs of slaves.
Well, I would say was built on. When you study the founders, so many of them in the Revolutionary War gave their lives They lost their fortunes. And they sacrificed tremendously to give us this Constitution and Declaration of Independence that we so joyfully experienced today. Opportunity for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So to sit there and say that the whole nation was built on the backs of slaves is false. Has prospered throughout the years. If you keep everything in context, the world was in that slave market mode from Europe to Middle East with Muslims, as well as America. And the thing was, we have Christians who pulled the nation out of slavery. The toughest part was keeping the colonies together so they could stay banded together as a coalition to get out of the tyranny of England. And this was a difficult time. So what we of the historical event itself, and we try to project ourselves where we're at and say, well, there's a whole lot of things going on in the world at that present time. But the world itself, as today, there's still slavery going on, by the way. But we've set ourselves free, and we've gone through some bloody wars to set ourselves free from slavery, and we've sacrificed. And what we want is opportunity for all. But when we look at the election today as Christians, there's the law of God. You reap what you sow. If you sow to the flesh, in other words, sow to sin, you're going to reap corruption. And that not only happens to us, but it also happens to us as a nation. But if we reap to this, if we sow to the Spirit, we'll reap everlasting life. And life, of course, is what we do when we get involved in politics. It's not our, there may be some people called for politics. It's their life calling. And to grow in the faith and to be used of God and promoting righteousness throughout the land, righteousness nation, so we combat unrighteousness and the ugliness of our world and its immoralities within our own nation, especially because we're to be under tyranny, under socialism, and we've seen the results of socialism and communism. My goodness, 140 million people were killed because of communism and communism and socialism across the world, and surely we don't want to go back to that. So this is where we have to keep our perspective, and they're trying to rewrite history right now in regards to the Founding Fathers, which is a shame. A great book to read is the by David Barton, Original Intent. It's a great book put out by Wall Builders Ministries. And that would bless your heart. But that's a good question, and it's a good those thoughts are being here right now in different groups and universities and so forth. But we've got to look to the Lord and see what were these men about? Constitution were Christians, and they gave their all for our freedoms. So, Shannon, I'll get back to you. I'm sorry.
Absolutely. No, it was wonderful. Kwanzaa, I think there's something you need to understand as well, is that the foundation of our nation wasn't built off of slavery, like Gerald said. We were running from persecution and tyranny, like he said, from England. And we came for religious and civil liberties and freedoms, which is exactly what our forefathers laid the groundwork for this great nation, and is part of the reason why this nation has been so blessed, because it was founded under God, being the father of our nation. And our forefathers warned us about a lot of the tyranny and the things that we're seeing now. Does that mean in a nation that blood is not shed? Of course not. There hasn't been a nation that has taken over another nation in conquest or in war that has superseded cultures where, you know, unfortunately people died. And that's war, right? And we see that constantly. But to say that it was built off the backs of slaves is not necessarily true. Now, culturally, we see that there has been slavery. And as Daryl said, again, not just in America, but if you go back through the empires, you go back, the Romans had slaves, Jews were slaves, so on and so forth. In Africa, they enslaved other tribes and their own people. They sold their people off into slavery for the sake of food or for money. It's about the condition of the heart, removing that cultural aspect aside and putting God first. And so I do think that some people, yes, can be too politically minded and they let God aside from seeing what they want to see. In other words, they're so Republican or they're so Democrat that they forget to put God in the center of that. And they will vote strictly their party line regardless of what their party says. And that's damaging, and it's very, very scary for even a believer to tend to lean that way, to be alt-right or alt-left. Any extremes are bad. But when you put God first and you look at things from the political eyes of the kingdom of heaven, indeed we worship a coming king and we're all kingdom bound, which subsequently means that we're part of a monarchy, which is a political system. And so when you understand your place in that kingdom and what God has given us the ability to do here on this earth, being salt and light to the earth, but also to be using the Bible to rule and regulate how we govern ourselves. That's government. So we need to look at all these things in context, like Gerald said. And yes, you can be too political, but if you're putting God first and you're going under the guise of what God wants, and you're using that as your barometer, and you're voting, and you're looking at things through the eyes, like Mike Kessler says on the program all the time, through Romans chapter 1, then you're going to make better decisions. But unfortunately, bad things happen. You know, when you look at abortion, you mentioned abortion. Abortion is ultimately a blood sacrifice. That is a satanic ritual, just like passing the baby through the fire to Baal or Molech. That is a blood sacrifice. That is a satanic ritual that we have taken on as a nation for whatever sick and twisted purpose that we deemed necessary. Slavery, for instance, through any culture that I've ever studied in American history or world history, was not intended to be a blood sacrifice or sacrificial to any god necessarily. So hopefully that helps. Okay, Kwanzaa, if you have any more questions, you can feel free to ask our producers. We'll get you some information, some books, and some DVDs and CDs for you to use. Maybe it'll help you answer more questions, or you can use them as evangelism tools. Let's go to Francois in Boise, Idaho. Francois, welcome.
Well, thank you for taking my call. A long-time listener and the first-time caller.
Well, thank you for calling.
Yes, I'm very excited that I'm able to get through. I want to share something that happened to me. In the 90s and the early 2000s, I worked for the government. I dealt with the people from Ukraine and Russia and so forth. That was my job. And one morning I went to my office, and these people came to me with a couple of sheets with the pictures on it. And they were wanting to know which one was the good guy, which one was the bad guy. One of them was Bush, and it was crossed with the black marker. And the other one was Clinton, and it was with the big blue marker with the big smiley. And they were passing this information to these people, saying, this guy is bad, and Clinton will give you all that you need. So I witnessed frauds, and I am so sad because I left my country to come to this America that I learned to love, and to see what's going on, I'm just really, really sad.
Well, no, it is sad, Francois, to see voter fraud, and we know that there's been issues in previous elections before, whether it been Bush and Al Gore, and as you said, the one that you specifically witnessed, we know that there was Acorn. That was a big issue with President Barack Obama during his first and second stint for the presidency, and it is heartbreaking. Unfortunately, that seems to be the way of some people in political parties. People become almost vicious, and they, you know, they gnash with their teeth and they foam at the mouth for the power of a seat in office, and we need to just continue to pray that God would work this out according to his will for the United States of America, and because we're a superpower, the betterment of the world. But I appreciate your call, and thank you for letting all of us know your firsthand experience.
And thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate that.
Go ahead.
Excuse me?
Go ahead.
And God bless you for what you're doing. You're a very smart lady, and I appreciate you Pastor Mike and your guest on the program. I really appreciate the information that you pass on to us.
Well, all God be the glory. Thank you very much, Francois, and thank you for being a listener. You stay on the line, and our producers will get you some books and CDs, maybe to help you evangelize to people in your area. Thank you for calling.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you. Let's go to Angie from New Jersey. Angie, hi and welcome.
Hi. My question pertains to Revelation chapter 9, verse 21 specifically. Our state has just legalized marijuana use for recreational purposes. I won't get into my view on that because I want to focus on what the Lord has to say about it. Now I know, at this time the church has been removed from the church, from the earth, between chapters 3 and 4 of Revelation. So what I'm just curious about is with the legalization of pot here in this state, is this kind of like a warm-up precursor to what happens over in Revelation 9:21?
Well, for the listeners, I'm going to read Revelation 9:21 for everybody so they understand the context of what we're discussing here. And Revelation 9:21, the NIV version, says, "Nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts." Murderers or their witchcraft can be another translation there. Their sorceries is also another word there for magic arts. I will have the rest of that answer when we come back from this break for you. But everyone wants to open their Bibles to Revelation 9:21. That is the passage that we will be going over with Angie as soon as we come back from the break. If you're interested in getting on the air with me, give me a call, 888-ASK-CSN, and I will answer your questions as soon as we return. God bless.
CSN is like a part of the family. We can sit with you in your living room, cook with you in your kitchen, and travel with you in your car, offering encouragement and hope all along the way. Please let us know when you have comments or prayer requests. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact CSN at csnradio.com or call us at 800-357-4226.
A lifeline for those searching. This is CSN.
You have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy, Psalm 61:3. CSN International has hundreds of stations across the nation, and each one requires a tower to broadcast from. We choose to use these towers to spread the word of God, the gospel, salvation through Jesus Christ. CSN needs your help. That's why we started Tower Keepers. It's a donation program from CSN offering you a chance to support your local station and keep it on the air. A monthly donation of whatever you can give allows CSN to continue to be the network where God's word is heard. You can join Tower Keepers. Give us a call at 1-800-357-4226 or send your donation to CSN Tower Keepers, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. For more information, you can log online to csnradio.com.
You dialed in to CSN, the Christian Satellite Network, broadcasting on nearly 400 stations nationwide, including over 30 stations in Oregon. You can listen in Baker City, Klamath Falls, Portland, Coos Bay, Redmond, and many more stations throughout Oregon and the nation. For the station nearest you, log online to csnradio.com. This is CSN International, where God's word is heard.
And welcome back to Every Man an Answer. I'm your host today, Shannon Skolton. With me, I have my co-host, Daryl Skinner, on today. Daryl, are you with me?
I am with you, Shannon. How are you doing?
Hallelujah. We got you on. You sound wonderful. Had some technical difficulties over Zoom, but the phone sounds much better. We're going to go back to our caller here, Angie from New Jersey, who was asking the question in regards to legalizing pot. Is it a foreshadowing of Revelation 9:21? Daryl, I'll let you take it away.
Well, yeah, and as you read that passage, it talks about the sorcery, which is the illicit drug trade and cartels that we have across the world. And, you know, I think in Oregon, there is a movement, they may have passed it already, of even legalizing heroin and cocaine. But this is all part of, you know, if you will, the devil's plan across our world, and it is all leading up to the Great Tribulation period. Jesus tells us about things are going to get worse and worse and worse as we approach the tribulation period, and then they will reach their zenith, if you will, their climax, as the tribulation time would take place under the rulership of the Antichrist. And everything he does will be against God. So there's going to be tremendous drug trade going on in cartels in the tribulation period. And it's interesting, even though God sends forth many plagues in the tribulation period, the Bible says here, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands. And then it goes through all the list of those sins, murders and sorceries and sexual immoralities or their thefts, which reveals the hardness of mankind's heart. And it also reveals the justification of God's judgment, because man is in total and absolute rebellion against God and against his creation and against his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so this is all taking place as we're approaching the Great Tribulation period. And the drug cartels are powerful, billions of dollar industry, and they control governments. And it's with us today. It's very strong. Shannon?
Also, when we talk about sorceries, we also have that word pharmakia. And so we have to understand that anything that alters our mind, Angie, even if it's a legal prescription drug, doesn't necessarily mean it's good. And when you're dealing with drugs, and you see, as Gerald said, in Oregon, they're passing legislation to decriminalize heroin and LSD and methamphetamines and other really hard substances. There's a condition of the heart. There's lawlessness. There's spirits behind everything happening. And this is a foreshadowing. It is an actual Amtrak, in my opinion, train that is going full bore towards the one world order and the system of the Antichrist, where he rules everything. God is nowhere to be found, because obviously, as you said, the church is raptured and it's everybody living in their flesh. And so when you have all of this happening with marijuana, and you see even DMT being talked about, which is a disassociative like LSD to alter the mind or help people potentially who have panic attacks, you allow other things in. You're putting your natural guard down, and that leaves you open for other demonic issues, demonic possession and paranoia. And it's just not a good way for the world to go. And we see that this is going to start happening more rampantly, and we're going to move closer and closer to things that are evil, to the things of the flesh, and away from God. I hope that answers your question, Angie.
Yes, actually, it does very much answer the question, because I was, you know, thinking about the times of Noah, when, you know, people were being married, given in marriage, and the violence and all that. And then this verse just popped into my head, and I was like, I got to ask about it. And I really appreciate your time. And I just want to encourage everybody to be strong in the Lord.
Amen.
And get real about your faith, because it's a relationship. And I have people calling me in a panic, because they're so upset about everything. And hey, I checked this morning. God is still on the throne. It's a relationship, not a ritualistic thing. It's a real relationship. So this is all the world has to look at, people, is us, because we're the closest thing to the Lord, because he lives in us.
Amen, Angie, which is why we can't have a spirit of fear, but a spirit that is of a sound mind, because God did not give us those spirits. He gave us the ability to rest in him and abide in him and have the power to trample on scorpions and serpents through the power of the Holy Spirit for his name's sake. So be empowered. Thank you for that word of exhortation, and thank you for calling in.
Thanks.
God bless you. Okay, let's go to our next caller. We have Willis in Globe, Arkansas. Hi, Will.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. I was going to steer away from the kind of political questions. in dealing with the Bible.
Sounds good to us. What's your question?
My girlfriend passed away a few months ago, and I wasn't really godly. I mean, I considered myself a Christian, and now I'm closer to God and listening to your radio and hearing how there's tests and all that, and to either push you or bring you closer, you know. So just wondering if I'm right to think that that was a test, a really messed up one, but to bring you closer to God.
Daryl, your thoughts?
I don't know if it's a test as much as it is just real life. You know, as we are believers in Christ, the Lord Jesus told us, you know, God has told us that we ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and one day we're all going to die. And, you know, my heart goes out to you, Willis, with your girlfriend passing. And, you know, I've had many close friends and family members pass. And the main thing is they're going to heaven. That's number one. But death is a part of our lives. It's a promise. We don't like that promise, but it's reality. But there's a greater promise than that, and it's eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And many times when we go through a difficult time, a tragedy, a trial, tribulation, whatever you want to call it, it will bring us closer to God. And we always say, you know what, I should have been closer to God already. But God has his ways in those events to say, you know what, I'll be your strength, I'll be your protection, I'll be your love, I'll be your peace. Just come to me, pray to me. As Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he's there for us. He says, Peter says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And so many times when our hearts get broken, the Lord will be there to mend us and to heal us and to help us. So I think what you're experiencing is just a work of God in your heart. I think the enemy may come along and try to tempt you, to lead you away from Christ and get angry with God. That happens at times for people. They get angry with God. Why did you take them? Why did this happen? You know what? You got to look at the whole package. Jesus went to that cross and he died for us. He gave his all for us. And death is a part of our lives. Let's just make sure we give our all for him, and let's trust in him and believe in him, and we'll go to heaven. So it's never easy, Willis, and our hearts are with you, but yet God has brought you closer to him, and I pray you just stay close and live for him and share his love with others. And through this event, you've learned a lot, and you're going to help others who go through the same event. It's always a testimony to share. As you've gone through it, God now uses you to share with others. Shannon?
Absolutely. You know, the book of James, the first chapter says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfected and complete, lacking nothing. And so I understand that sometimes people think that this is a testing when people die, and it's just maybe specifically for you, the one suffering, who's left behind. And sometimes we have to look at death as something a lot bigger than that. It might not just be for you, but maybe countless others. I'm going to tell you a story, Willis. I had a daughter, premature, and when I gave birth to her, she died in my arms 4 hours later. And I did not understand. I was born and raised in the church. I was a believer. Loved the Lord with all my heart, and I couldn't understand why God would allow me to endure such pain for 4 hours of pleasure, just holding my baby, looking at her, and then for him to take her from me. And I didn't understand it, and I didn't think I would ever understand it. And it was the most painful, horrific thing that I had gone through, and I suffered depression for many years around her birthday after that. But then a couple years later, I ended up going on a mission trip to the Philippines, and we were in Dumaguete, and we went to a county hospital there, where I was supposed to go to one floor and the rest of the group was supposed to go to the other. And we ended up switch swapping floors that we were supposed to go on. And I ended up in the maternity ward. And I came across a young lady there who only spoke Tagalog, and her husband was there. And the person who was interpreting said that she was in preterm labor, and she was going to have this baby, and the baby wasn't going to live. It was 25 weeks old. And the Spirit of the Lord came over me, and I just started witnessing to her through my experience of what happened and what God had done in my life. And I didn't even wait for the interpreter. I was just talking in English, and I was crying, and she just was receiving it. She was bawling, and her husband was bawling. It was like the Holy Spirit, through the magical, wonderful gift of tongues, was able to reveal to her my heart through what I said. And it was able to minister to her and her husband became believers that day, and they had that baby. And by the grace of God, that baby ended up surviving. And I ended up getting a lot of pictures and videos and mail from her later on in years, which through all circumstances, that baby should not have survived. In a county hospital in the Philippines is like the worst of the worst of the worst hospital situations you can possibly ever imagine. And that baby survived. And with modern medicine, my baby didn't survive. And so I looked back at that and I thought, if my losing of my daughter was just so that I can have that testimony in that heart and that compassion and that love and identify with that lady in that hospital that day, and she became a believer in her whole family, then it was worth losing my daughter. And so you don't know what God is going to do in the future through her passing. Maybe how many lives that she's touched and affected, or what you're going to be able to do through the testimony of the pain that you've gone through. But we don't ultimately know why God does what he does, but we have to have faith that he's going to use that as a good work and that we're going to be able to fulfill something for his kingdom through that pain. Willis, I hope that helps.
Yeah, no, that was definitely different than what I've been thinking, and I like what you guys said.
Well, thank you, and we will definitely keep you in prayer, Willis, and we hope that you're blessed. And if you have any more questions, feel free to give us a call in, but stay on the line, and our producers will get you some information to hopefully strengthen your faith and help you evangelize to others.
All right. God bless you, Shannon, and other guy.
Daryl.
Sorry.
God bless you, my friend.
All right. Well, thank you very much. All right, let's go to our next caller. We have Tammy in Collings, California. Tammy, welcome.
Hi. I just wanted to ask Pastor Daryl to speak to the overall goodness of God as far as our nation is concerned, because the only reason our nation is blessed or was ever blessed is because God was our God. And he works in ways that we don't really understand, but when the Puritans came to the United States of America, it wasn't the United States of America, and the reason that they decided to come here was to set up a nation under God, a nation under God that they loved and served. And so if you could speak to that, because I don't think people realize and understand that, you know, we talk about, you know, the Thanksgiving, you know, which is coming up very, very soon, and this communion, this community that was created by the first settlers and the indigenous peoples here, and what happened, right? And they ate together, which is a really beautiful picture. God talks about us supping together and those kind of things. So if you could kind of speak to that and kind of help everybody to understand that this nation is special because of the purpose of the people who started this nation was to actually build it on Christian principles, not on any particular government.
Daryl, your thoughts?
Yeah, great statement there, Tammy. And when we look at our nation and the founding of our nation from the Puritans all the way through to the founding fathers and yeah, was it a struggle? Yes, it was a struggle. But, you know, they came to evangelize. They came for freedom. They came to disciple. And as these Christians came over to what we now call America, they had that in their hearts. Was everybody perfect? No. Did corruption follow? Yes. You know, it's just part of our world. We have no perfect place on this planet. Jesus will bring the righteousness at his second coming. But they came to do their very best to love and to provide and to bless others. And so we have one nation, supposed to be one nation under God, and we love to sing God Bless America. And so the founders gave us a nation with its checks and balances with all the different branches of government to try to keep us in that cohesion of one nation under God, having been endowed by our Creator with inalienable rights, and all men are created equal. And it took a while to get there because of all the problems of sinful men and godly men and then carnal men. And finally, you know, we've been trying to work our way through. We still see it today. But we have to stand for righteousness. We have a great heritage. And as I said, there's another great book called The Light and the Glory, going back in our history, as well as David Barton's ministry, Wall Builders, gives you a beautiful history of Christianity throughout our country. So if you want to educate your children in that, those are great opportunities for parents and grandparents. And right now, the information in the history of our nation is being rewritten, and it's being stifled, and it's being changed. It's turning into hatred towards our founding fathers. Why? Because the socialists and the communists within our country, they have to change the narrative. They have to get rid of our history of Judeo-Christianity giving and helping and the freedoms that we have, and they're going to turn them into a bunch of slave-raping mongers, and thus we need to hate the Constitution, because they want to get rid of the Constitution and bring in a new Green Deal, which brings in a raw deal, which is socialism and communism. And this is what we're up against as believers in Christ and as a nation. So hopefully that speaks to your heart a little bit there, Tammy. And Shannon, I'll hand over you and you follow up.
Very well said. I couldn't have said it better. I honestly, this cancel culture, Tammy, that we're living in is strictly that. It's a communist and socialist ideology, which is trying to really form itself and become communism when it actually gets into the White House and it takes a complete foothold of our nation. But we do need to understand the principles that our country was founded on. And it was Judeo-Christian philosophy and theology. It had nothing to do with anything other than that. And I know there's a lot of conspiracy theories out there. And as wonderful as YouTube is for a plethora of information, it's absolutely detrimental to some people's walks and even understanding where we are as a nation. Because there's all of these little videos and these things that take 90% truth and 10% lie, or 99% truth and 1% lie, but a little leaven leavens the whole bunch. And so we have to be very careful. But they are attempting to rewrite history, and they're attempting to teach our children this twisted version of what really has happened. And what that's doing is breeding hatred and contention. And it's causing this race war, and that's why we are in the situation we're in today. We indeed are in a civil war, and we see that it hasn't become bloody yet. But there is such a divide between people, and that divide that has crept in is definitely spiritual at its core. So, Tammy, we hope that helps.
It does. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
I was just hoping that people out there who listen to this radio station would hear from a man of God the truth, so that they could readjust and start. You know, God says that our people perish for lack of knowledge. We have to seek the truth for it to be found. So it's not going to be put right in front of our faces. And that's why I really wanted him to speak to this, so people would start thinking, wait a minute, maybe I should go out if he's really this concerned. And it's a great concern for us. If we don't seek the truth, we will not know it, and we will go in the wrong direction. And that's what's happened to our nation.
Absolutely, Tammy. And, you know, this is actually streamed on Facebook and Instagram. And so Daryl did such a good job answering your question. You can go on Facebook or Instagram and take that soundbite and share it to people you know on your social media page if you want to share what he said. But it definitely was a great question, and I know that we both were happy to answer it. Thank you for giving us a call.
God bless you. Thank you so much.
God bless you, Tammy. Let's go to Philip in Swenson, Illinois. Hi, Philip.
Hello, Jim. Great job. I hope you hear Christ say, well done, good and faithful servant.
Oh, thank you, Philip.
Really,
God
do.
Be the glory. Thank you. How can we help you today?
Listen, here in Illinois, I don't want to say the party, but I'm hearing that the United States is funding Israeli abortions. I can't find anything to substantiate their claim.
I can't substantiate that either. Daryl, do you have any information on that? I'm unaware.
That is news to me. I've never heard of that before. I don't know why Israel would need to fund abortions in Israel. That doesn't make any sense.
There are.
And I know Trump has been against funding abortions across the world. So that was one of the first things he did when he came into office.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense from a political standpoint. Nonetheless, Trump is very careful with where he puts American money, and that's why he's pulling out of a lot of these accords and even threatening to pull out of the United Nations. So I doubt we'd be shifting money to fund abortions in Israel. I know that there's a lot of conspiracy theories around Israel. There's a lot of people that are very anti-Semitic that spread propaganda in regards to Israel and the Jewish people. So I'd be very careful. But sorry, we don't have more information for you, Philip.
That's okay. It's been anti-Semitic. My poor state is terribly so. It's not making the press, but it is. And a lie, once it's told the third time, it becomes truth. And these people are just frothing at the bit to have something against us who stand up for life.
It's definitely demonic. And that's why even in Christian and evangelical circles, we have to be very careful with what we listen to, even from Amen. Pastors, because there's obviously replacement theology and all these other theologies that are very damning and damaging to Israel and the Jewish people. And we need to make sure we keep our eyes on Jesus and know good doctrine and have good exegesis of the scripture so that we don't fall into that camp ourselves. But thank you for calling in, Philip. Hopefully we can help you a little more next time if you have another question.
That's great. Thank you.
Well, God bless you, Philip. Thank you for calling. We'll go to our next caller, Terry from Bend, Oregon. Terry, welcome.
Thank you so much for taking my call. The reason I'm calling today, and I first want to thank you guys for your ministry, and God bless you. Calling about, you know, God forbid if Biden gets in and we're heading down to that path that we're heading. But the question I want to know is whether there's a biblical foundation or any advice financially when we have money in the bank. If he gets in, should I'm don't make a lot of money for that matter, but for what money I have, want to be able to survive. Should we be pulling that money out if he gets in?
Daryl, your thoughts?
Well, I think, you know, I think Biden will probably follow much of what he and Obama did back then with the 8 years of Obama. Now, it could get a little bit more radical with depending on the people he puts in his staff, his White House staff and so forth. But I don't feel at this present time there's that danger. I'm not the financial guy, but I think right now things look fine. I think if you see things happening, there might be that time. But I would be more worried about you pulling it out than someone coming in and robbing your house. And then, you know, if people are pulling the money out, they got to put it someplace. And they can put it in their homes. Now you have an exorbitant amount of burglaries because people know your people are stashing money in their homes. So I think right now we still have the FDIC and the guarantee of $250,000 per account and so forth. So I don't see that as something that's coming. Shannon?
I think, I'm hopeful that you listened to the program yesterday, Terry. Not sure if you did. We had a financial advisor on from Christian Financial Perspectives, a wonderful guy, Dr. Tom Barrett, who discussed a lot of these things. We had a lot of calls about finances yesterday. And one of the things that he had mentioned was when you see something that is oncoming, that is a potential issue, maybe like a collapse in the economy, or maybe there's going to be a bubble that pops like we saw in 2007, 2008 in the housing market, or there's a financial downturn, if there's inflation. His concern specifically was that in this socialist government, this communistic ideology that is creeping into the White House, if indeed Joe Biden wins, that we're going to be put in a very bad financial issue as a nation, which means that our debt is going to increase and our debt is sold off to other countries. And when debt increases, inflation increases. And we end up in a situation kind of like Venezuela, where our currency is worth nothing and it's just worth more as toilet paper than to buy anything, or even in Germany during the war when people were burning marks just to stay warm. And the wheelbarrow was worth more than the money in it. So that is a concern if you look towards the future, depending on what happens. It's very interesting for us because we can't give a generalization for what people should do. Because one, we need to steer you back to God. And you need to be able to look at the Lord and pray and fast and petition him for your own individual finances and circumstances so he can lead you appropriately. When we give a recommendation that might be very general, we don't want everyone jumping on that bandwagon and all of a sudden everyone's pulling their money out, and like Daryl said, hiding it under their mattress or in their safe in their home. So doing something that is between you and the Lord for your financial benefit, I suggest that you bring that before him so he can assist you. I do think it's imperative that you watch and you pray for wisdom, knowledge, and discernment in the things that happen, and you're very mindful of what's coming, because that will help you also make better decisions for your future. We know a lot of Christians are investing in gold and tangible assets like gold and silver. And that is always wise because gold has always gone up. It's never gone down. And that is a good place to place your money. The gentleman, Dr. Tom Barrett, yesterday also stated that even though your money is in the bank, if you look at all the information from your bank account that you sign, you're technically lending your money to the bank and they have the right to do whatever they want with that. So in the circumstance of a financial collapse, you actually don't get that money back. And the Federal Reserve isn't, or the FDIC is not federal by any means. And they are also subject to not having to pay back that $250,000 if there is a time of crisis. So make a good decision through wisdom, knowledge, and discernment through the Holy Spirit in your life by prayer and fasting. And also good to get counsel, but hopefully that helps you. I wish we can give you a little more information on that.
No, it does help a lot. And if I could just ask for one prayer, and I live in Oregon, and as you guys were talking, they did pass that bill for the hard drug. And this state is becoming in a bad state right now. You know, I've been here 32 years.
Terry, we will be praying for Oregon. We're coming up on a break. We will catch everybody on the other side of this break. Make sure you stream us on csnradio.com.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. Not only is it time for open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For the typical family, switching to MediShare saves about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people. Think what you could do with that. But if you join right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fee, so that's another $170 you'll save. And MediShare is really different. It's a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. More than 400,000 people are members, and they've shared over $4 billion in medical bills. So, yes, they can handle your bills, too. This may be the time to make the switch. Join before November 30th for the additional savings. It's so easy to find out more. They're great to talk to. In fact, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Here's the number. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
Hi, friends. Pastor Chapin from Calvary Chapel University with really, really great news for you. Calvary Chapel University is now fully accredited. That's right, fully accredited through TRACS, a national accrediting agency. If you're interested in completing or starting your 100% online college degree, go to calvarychapeluniversity.com and apply today. Calvary Chapel University is not only online, but it's sound doctrinally and 100% based on the Word of God. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.com to get your fully accredited college degree. One other blessing. If you apply between now and the end of December, you will get a 50% off tuition scholarship. That's half off your entire college degree for your entire college degree. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.com, apply today, and Pamela and Donna will be happy to help you. Oh, one other thing. Pastor Skip Heitzig is now a faculty member, and he's teaching actively at Calvary Chapel University. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.com and apply today.
Do our times have you down? Are you feeling perplexed and you sense we're in perilous times? And where can you find the truth? I'm Jan Markell. I have the answer to all those questions. Listen to Understanding the Times Radio right here on the CSN Network. I'll help you understand the times, contend for the faith, become watchmen on the wall, Saturdays, noon Pacific, 1 Mountain, 2 Central, 3 Eastern time on the CSN Network.
This is KAWZ Twin Falls, the Christian Satellite Network.
And welcome back to Every Man an Answer. I'm your host today, Shannon Skolton, with Daryl Skinner, here to answer questions that you have about the Bible from the Bible. If you are interested in giving us a call, our phone number is 8888-ASK-CSN. We'll be more than happy to answer questions today with you. We are going to go to our next caller from Virginia, it looks like. Jerry from Virginia. Hi, and welcome.
Hi. I've got a specific question that are women able to preach the gospel or pastor a church?
Daryl, I'll let you go first.
Okay. All Christians are to preach the gospel. The gospel is the good news that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that he rose from the grave, he ascended to heaven, and all who believe in him can receive eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
So we're all called to preach the gospel. We're all called to make disciples. When it comes to pastoring a church, and we have what's called 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. They're known as pastoral epistles. And what's laid down in those pastoral epistles is that a man is to be the pastor of the church. Okay, now, however, women, they fulfill great roles within the church. My wife, for example, she teaches a large Bible class for women. Women are always teaching children and helping out there, as well as men. And women are beautiful missionaries. They do a great work. But if a church is established, God has established, according to his word, that a man is to be the pastor of the church. But women serve in fabulous roles within the church. We have so many wonderful ladies in our church doing so many great things. But when it comes to that leadership role as a pastor, it is to be a man. And we see that example by Jesus as he chose 12 men to be his apostles and disciples, of course, as well as we see the same leadership types in the Old Testament. So that's the simplicity of it, but ladies, great works within the church. It's marvelous. Shannon?
Absolutely, and you see in the Bible, Priscilla and Aquila, together, husband and wife, and she was subject to her husband. And, you know, we get this question a lot, especially with women who have, for instance, like myself, with Voice of Truth, radio programs where we talk and teach and interview people, and we discuss things and signs of the times, maybe like Jan Markell. And our position is that we are under the church. I'm not on my own. I cannot go pastor a church, nor would I ever want to. Nor do I think that, obviously, from the Word of God, that it's biblically correct to do so. But like Pastor Daryl said, to be under the priest of the church, the head of the church, the pastor of the church, to be given a duty and a role to go out and to fulfill that role for the kingdom of heaven is a beautiful and amazing and wonderful thing, to be subject to someone over you spiritually. And that is why we have women's ministry leaders, as I am at our church here, and that I am under the authority, obviously, of the pastor of the church. And so when you see women pastors that go on their own, start congregations, they have massive congregations, they might be dynamic speakers, they might actually preach the word of God well. I mean, and you would think that because their ministry is so fabulous and growing and they have books, that they're being blessed by the Lord. But we also need to recognize that if we are not doing everything God calls us to do in the way that he calls us to do it, we need to go back and we need to not make excuses for that and understand our place. So it is not okay for a woman to just go and pastor a church and not be subject by any authority to a pastor or a man over her. Hopefully that helps.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. If you stay on the line, we'll get you some information, some books and CDs and DVDs to help you with your walk and also allow you to help others with their walk through evangelism. Let's go to Denise from California. Hi, and welcome, Denise.
Hi, Shannon and Daryl. Thank you, guys. I appreciate CSM so much, and Mike and all the good people that speak, Jeff and others. I'm calling about a couple of different things, well, mainly one thing. Where is the Bible verse that speaks about not by my, I think it's Zechariah 4:6, but it's about not by my might nor by works, but by my power, says the Lord? Is that how that goes?
Daryl.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And we have to trust the Lord in what's going on in our country right now. God is in control. And, you know, as I think Shannon shared earlier in the program, God's not given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so, you know, the church has endured an awful lot throughout its history, from the Roman enslavement and persecutions, from socialism to communism. This election's not the end of the world, no matter who wins, because the Lord says he's coming for his bride. He's going to take us home in the rapture of the church. we have this blessed hope in our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And for Christians out there, let's just fight the good fight. Let's not panic. You know, persecution brings power. What do I mean by that? Well, because when we're persecuted, you draw closer to the Lord.
Amen.
In prayer, in the Word of God, and when you do that, then you're built, you're strengthened as a body of believers, and the power of Christ is even stronger in you as you go through this persecution. So whatever God has for us, we're going to make it, and we just trust Him and let Him just do His thing, and we'll just keep preaching the gospel, making disciples, winning souls. It's so exciting.
Amen. Shannon? Amen to that. Denise, did you have another question for us?
Yes, I did. Thank you for letting me speak back on again. And that was very good, Daryl. Thank you. I think that's good for folks to hear. I'm reading this verse that says in Zechariah 4:6, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And I know that, you know, there's been many, many people praying, you know, in this country and some throughout the world. We're praying for, you know, basically we know that the President Trump is pro-life. He has stated it. I've heard that and has put in a lot of Christians in office and has done a lot of good in that kind of way, biblical things. And also the Republican Party platform, in their platform, they come right out and speak that they're for pro-life and pro-family biblical values, and it's right in their platform. If people will just look up the platform, they can read either both party platforms, and the Republicans is very biblical platform. So with that, I would like to say a couple things. You know, we saw a miracle in 2016 that President Trump, who has been very pro-life, got in, and it was a miracle. He himself didn't think he was going to get in at the time, and we knew it was a miracle. Well, we're at that point again, and we don't know what's going to happen. We do, as you've said, are seeing a lot of things that appear there's a lot of fraud and concerns, but. Again, it's like I feel like, and someone else I've talked to feels like we are now at a point where God is now really showing us that if this pro-life president is to get in, it's going to be a miracle now. You know, it's at that point now. And so I think that the Lord is showing us, I'm asking everybody to pray for a miracle that that this pro-life President Trump will be able to get in for another 4 years and the Republicans as much as possible. And that we would pray for that, and with that, God will show us, if God answers that prayer for the miracle, that throughout the world, that He was with all those prayers of all the people throughout the nation and the world, and He is there. He's alive. I also want to say that if he wins, I really believe it was a miracle for 2020 also to give us four more years of Christians to make a difference. I think Christians need to be making a difference, and even after this election, no matter which person becomes president, we don't want to give up praying. We don't want to go back to sleep. We want to pray for this nation and for the world and make a difference in these end times.
Absolutely. You know, Denise, there's a film that you can find on csnradio.com on the banner called Trump 2024. And everything you just said is encapsulated in that film and narrated by many very famous Christians, from Robert Jeffress to Jeff Wickwire, who co-hosts on this program on occasion, to Jack Hibbs. I'm sure everybody is familiar with Pastor Jack Hibbs from Chino Hills Calvary Chapel, and many others who discuss exactly those things, the miracle and the need for President Trump to be our president for another 4 years, and what are we going to do after President Trump? Who's going to come up and step to the plate and guide us from a biblical worldview, which is exactly what the United States needs? We need to get back to a biblical worldview, and indeed, if Trump seems to win this election, it is definitely going to be a miracle, because the gates of hell are opened and people are scrimping and scraping and fighting and gnashing at teeth and doing everything they can in every illegal way to prevent him from winning. And that should show the evangelical Christian how dire it is for him to be in office. When evil is trying to destroy something so good, he's doing something right. And so we do need to keep him in prayer. We will definitely, Denise, pray for the condition of our nation, for this election, that another miracle would transpire here in 2020, and that God would provide someone to come alongside of Trump, or even at the very last minute for 2024. Thank you so much, Denise, for giving us a call.
You're welcome. Thank you. Can you say a prayer right now for our country?
Absolutely. Daryl, you want to lead us in some prayer?
Sure, I'd love to. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we thank you for your great and marvelous love, your grace and your tender mercy. You've been good to these United States of America. You've blessed us mightily and abundantly. And Lord, we are full of sin. We know that, Lord, but we're trying to fight for righteousness. And Lord Jesus, you're the righteous one. We trust in you to go before us like you did Joshua and others. As you led the way, we want to be Christians who are going to be victorious through faith. No matter what comes down the road, Lord, we pray that you would take care of us and guide us together in your love and in the unity of the Spirit. And so, Lord, we pray for President Trump. He seems to be the one that is in this great fight for righteousness and for goodness and for the Judeo-Christian beliefs, Lord, and to fight against abortion. And so, Lord God, we pray for him that, be it your will, that he would be the president again for another 4 years and continue to surround him with so many wonderful Christians. And we know and we recognize that this is a tremendous spiritual war. So we pray against the strongholds of Satan in the Democratic Party who are trying to create chaos across this nation and the corruption of this voting. We pray against them in Jesus' name by the power of the blood. And so, Lord, may you do a great and mighty work. We love you, we trust in you, and we look forward to these results. No matter what comes, Lord, we trust in you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. We all said,
amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Gerald. Thank you, Denise. Be blessed as you go about your day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
God bless you guys.
Thank you. Gerald, we're going to answer a Facebook question. We have one here from Leon Severson. Leon asks, do I need to ask permission to do every single action in my life, like asking permission to eat or drink or ask for permission to ride my motorcycle to work or even ask for my permission to sit down and rest from the Lord? Daryl.
Well, I think your parents are too controlling. No, I'm always kidding.
That's right, yeah. Well, are you Italian, Leon? No, I'm just kidding.
No, I'm just teasing. You know what? When it comes to the things, there's just things in life we just do, okay? Like drink water, your body needs it, you eat and so forth. We give thanks to God for all things, okay? That's probably a better perspective. You know, thank the Lord for the water we drink. Thank the Lord for the clothes on our back. Thank the Lord. As we go to work, we reap what we sow. And so as we sow to the Spirit, we will reap wonderful things. The Lord Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. So as you live for the Lord, just trust in God. But you don't have to be, if I could say, this is not offensive, neurotic about it.
Mm-hmm.
And just know that God's given you a brain, he's given you a heart, he's given you a life, he's given you a soul. And live for righteousness, live to do the right things, and God says, I'll take care of you. Do I pray? Do I seek him? Do I thank him? Of course we do. But it's you don't have to get like down to every little detail. Should I trim my fingernails today? You know, if they need trimming, trim them.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, enjoy life. And otherwise, you get so minute, you're not going to enjoy life. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come and learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly. He's meek. He's there to teach us and guide us. Look at the life of Christ and how he lived as you read the Gospels, and you'll know exactly how you're to live. From those beautiful Gospels, okay?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, God is not this deity up in the sky with this giant magnifying glass holding it against the sun, burning us like little ants, you know? I mean, he's a loving
exactly.
God. He's our Father, and we're supposed to rest in him. And he gave us a brain, and he gave us the ability to make decisions on our own. And so all we need to do is pray for wisdom, knowledge, discernment, and understanding. And the Word of God says he will give freely to those who ask for those things, that all things would be done according to his will, Leon. So hopefully that helps. Again, if you have any Facebook questions that you need answered, and you're on Facebook and you're listening and streaming right now, feel free to message us and we'll be able to answer them. Not necessarily in a very quick time frame, but we will eventually get to your question. Let's go to our next caller. We have Bonnie up next from Idaho.
Oh, here you are.
Hey, how are you, Bonnie?
I am good. I just love this show. It gives me so much information and gives me information to help other people and pass it on and always learn something new.
Praise God.
Today I was listening to Crosstalk, and Bill Federer was their guest, and he has written a new book on socialism. Did you guys, have you heard about it?
I have heard of a book, and I think it was from him. It was The Real History of Plato to the Present. Is that the one you're talking about?
That's the one I'm talking about.
I have heard of that book. I have not had the pleasure to read it. Daryl, have you?
No, unfortunately, I have not.
No, I don't know much about the book, Bonnie, but maybe you'll enlighten us.
But I just wanted to get that information out there because I'm telling you, we're there.
Yeah.
And I've known that for years. I've been watching it come and praying and knowing the Lord's coming soon. So it's that excitement about the Lord coming, but fighting for righteousness and truth, too. And that's what you guys do, and I'm so thankful for you. So that's why I called. I wanted to put that book out there so that people will grab it and read it, because, boy, I'm going to get a copy.
I will definitely. I think it's on my desk. Someone sent it to me. So I will definitely try to read it, maybe have more thoughts. But you're right, Bonnie, we are there. And, you know, the Democratic Socialists is the nice way they put their ideologies, which is really communism. And what people don't understand is that Hitler, indeed, was not a communist. He was a socialist. He was a national socialist. And so these ideologies that have crept into America from the 50s on, that have been pushed down the throats of our children through indoctrination in our schools, even in seminaries, unfortunately, and other ways, have been detrimental to the development of the previous generations. And now what we're seeing is a culmination of all of that indoctrination and propaganda. And we're fighting the good fight for America to continue to be a republic, a democratic republic, not just a democracy, as many people think. But we will look into that book. I can't endorse it, say it's wonderful or not, but I will definitely look into it. And maybe, Daryl, it'll be on your shelf to read sometime soon.
Absolutely. I guess he's got a good program called The American Minute. So, I've heard of him before and just haven't read his books yet, but I'm going to do it now.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you, Bonnie, for sharing that information.
Bye-bye.
God bless you. All right, let's go to our next caller. We have Reno, Nevada, Dee Dee from Reno, Nevada. Hi, and welcome.
Thank you. I have a very strange question. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you perfectly fine.
Okay, good. I have a strange question, and I hope it's not disrespectful. About a month ago, I was thinking of this question. You know how Jesus was 100% man, and Jesus was 100% God? What happened to the human part?
Daryl, your thoughts?
Well, when he came out of the grave after the third day, he resurrected. He walked the earth for 40 days. Then he physically ascended up into heaven. And we know that the Lord is going to come and meet us in the clouds physically to take us up in the rapture of the church. We're told that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we also know that the Lord is going to return a second time to the earth physically. In fact, the Bible says you and I on horses will receive a brand new glorified body. We will return with our Lord back to the earth, and he will reign and rule on the earth for 1,000 years. That's known as the millennial reign of Christ. And he will have his physical body, so will we. We have these glorified bodies that are made for eternity. They'll never get old, they'll never wrinkle, they'll never get diseased, they'll never die. It's going to be magnificent. I don't know what age we're going to look like. That question comes up quite often.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we'll be better looking now than we've ever been, than we've ever been now. So we look forward to that, but the Lord has his physical body. In fact, in Revelation chapter 5, John was given a vision. When he looked upon the Lord, he saw that the Lord was the one who was crucified for us. And he was able to take the title deed of the earth, and he's going to redeem us. He's going to bring the wrath of God against the Christ-rejecting world during the 7 years of tribulation. And then comes his second coming, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. After that, we head off to the new heavens, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. And we all have our glorified bodies. Hopefully that helps, Shannon. I'll hand it back to you.
Amen. Dee Dee, hopefully that helps.
I understand all that. I do agree. You know, I'm a post-trip. But what do you guys think happened to Jesus' body? Do you think he was just another human then that's going to be in heaven? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
So you're trying to make a differentiation between him as God in heaven and his spirit versus his physical human body. Is that correct?
Because he was because he was 100% God and 100% human.
Daryl.
Yeah, well, when we see him in heaven, he will still have that glorified, that body that he had when he was crucified. In fact, John looks upon him, he looks at him and says, the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be scars that he will carry with him as a remembrance of his great sacrificial love for his bride. We're the bride of Christ. He is the bridegroom. And he will take care of us forever and ever and ever. So he doesn't lose any of his deity, and he doesn't lose that humanity. He has gone into the heavens, and he will forever be with us. So,
and we will see that body.
And we get a brand new body ourselves.
So that really is.
Does that help you out?
I will chew on that. Thank you so much. God bless you guys.
Thank you, Dee Dee. Glad that we can help.
Okay.
Let's go to Cameron from North Dakota. Hi, and welcome, Cameron.
Hello. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. I got a question about, first of all, thank you for your ministry. I like that. I've been listening to you guys for quite a few years now, and this is the first time calling in. So I listened to Mr. Darryl with Jen also.
Well, good. Thank you. Thank you for being a listener.
Thank you. Both of you. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you guys, too. I got a question about, yesterday Mr. Tom was on, too, mm-hmm. and today somebody brought it up again about the situation changing if, for God's sake, if something goes wrong and the other party takes over and socialism and everything. Question was about buying the gold, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So if everybody is buying gold and the dollar will be depreciated to the point where it wouldn't have any value, so where that gold would be sold later or who's going to buy that gold?
So the how I'm understanding your question is if everyone's buying gold because the dollar is completely worthless, then who's going to have money to buy the gold at that point?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I think what we need to understand is that we need to be smart and preemptively do things to secure our assets and ourselves. And that's where Dr. Tom was saying to try to buy gold now. Because if you have money that actually becomes worth nothing during that time, you're not going to be able to take that money and trade it in for gold. It's going to be too little too late. So to start planning and prepping now for your financial future and start buying gold when you can from different gold retailers that are trusted. And Dr. Tom Barrett said you can go to his website for those. I think if you wait till that happens, I think it's not going to be worth much. If you have $250,000 in gold, in dollar bills in your safe and it's worth nothing, you're not going to be able to trade that in for gold or anything. But gold would be a form of currency. We've seen it cycle throughout history to buy, whether it be property or be a tangible asset like a house or even a form of transportation. So his encouragement was to start doing that now so you don't get caught later where you're at the point to where you absolutely have no choice and you can't do anything about it. Daryl.
Well, I think it's important for us as believers and in our financial responsibilities is that you have a diversified portfolio, and whether you're investing in stocks, you're investing in gold, you're investing in real estate, that you have something that you're going to be able to protect yourself in various fronts of what might be happening in our economy. One thing I do know is that the Lord says he will take care of us. We need wisdom and knowledge and understanding the world we live in, but we need to trust in the Lord also and ask him for that wisdom. He'll give it to us liberally. That doesn't mean he'll make us a liberal, but rather he'll give it to us abundantly.
Thanks for clarifying for all listening.
I hand it back to you with that, Shannon.
Awesome. Well, Cameron, does that answer your question?
Kind of, you know, I guess I didn't explain my question right.
Well, we got about 10 seconds. So what we'll do is if you want to give us a call back tomorrow and you want to expand on that question a little bit, we'd be more than happy to answer that. Actually, not tomorrow because we'll be only answering Facebook questions but on Monday. Thank you for listening. God bless everybody. And thank you for tuning in to Every Man an Answer on Facebook. May everybody be blessed and good night.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.
The preceding program was brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.